structure. But well said, John. Thank you. So, like I say, the reading of John can sometimes be a little bit put-offing, if you will, like who's in whom and who's abiding where. But, you know, sometimes for me, reading the Gospel of John is a little bit like being on the teacup ride at an amusement park. You know that you're going to get sudden spins and tilts, but you don't know exactly when or how. And each one is a surprise. It's a little bit scary and a little bit exciting. This morning's gospel takes us on kind of a teacup ride. Like the teacup ride, we never know exactly or fully where John leads us. Ultimately, we know that he leads us finally to the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. As part of his departure discourse, Jesus is praying to God and then speaking with his disciples. And God knows what Jesus is saying, but it's for the benefit of his disciples who are sitting around him at the Last Supper. So the point is that John has a point, and his language and his sentence structure invite us in to consider more intimately what it is that Jesus is saying. I don't think you can read this passage one time and just say, oh, I get it. It takes time, and it takes insight to embrace the entirety of John's message. And it can be difficult to comprehend what it means for Jesus to abide in us, for God to abide in us, for us to abide in one another, and the fact that Jesus and our Father also abide in one another. It can be mind-boggling, yet this is the truth. Today's reading in part of refers to what's called the farewell discourse of Jesus to his disciples at the Last Supper. According to the Gospel of John, this whole discourse of farewell is found in chapters 14 through 17. The words that we read today are part of that farewell, like I say, to his disciples at the Last Supper. In today's words, we hear the promise of the Holy Spirit, an assurance that this deep abiding will not end with his death. This is, I think, a perfect reading for the scripture of Scripture for the Sunday before Pentecost. At Pentecost, we hear how the Holy Spirit comes among us and connects us to God, to Jesus, and to one another. Yes, us, connects us. John's words are about abiding with and in God and Jesus, with and in one another, and are relevant to us as disciples today, even as they were all those years ago. We are invited to recognize the importance of love and unity as followers. So we're into our kingdom come. I hope you've been looking at the books in the prayer journal. And I don't know that I mentioned that you can also go online, and you can either sign up to get the daily readings, or you can go to the website and get them. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer asks for a connection between the kingdom of this life and that of the next. And as part of our journey from the Ascension to Pentecost, we are engaged in praying for five people who need to know the love of Christ. And they don't know. They don't know that we're praying for them. And yet our prayers are our experience in that prayer shares an intimacy with that person, abiding with those people that we are praying for, even though they don't know it. We know it. So if we're abiding in them, we are capable of doing that because meanwhile we are abiding in Jesus and God is abiding in them. So that's a great way to think about the praying for five. And people say we pray even though they don't know what we're doing. And what good is that? Well, I don't know about you all, but the power of prayer is good, very good. Wearing a bracelet or putting on your keychain of leather or fabric that has five knots in it is a direct connection between what we say we're going to do and what we do. We have to do it. We have to pray for these people, these five people. And it doesn't necessarily have to stop at Pentecost. Prayer connects us. The sensory contact of this piece of leather wrapped around our wrists reminds us to stop and pray wherever we are. Sometimes the only prayer we can get into, or I can get into, our busy schedule is, Lord, hear my prayer. One of the readings, I think it was from day three, written by Cardinal Vincent Nichols, who's the Archbishop of Westminster and President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. And this really struck me. The first part of Our Father ends with the words, on earth as it is in heaven. Try adding those words to each of the opening sentences of the prayer. So today's prayer will read, Hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven. It puts a whole different spin on what it is that the prayer is saying. There's that connection between on earth and heaven. And we are part of that connection. So we strive the best we can to make the praise of God the center of our lives. It can be the most important thing that we can do for the world. We have been created. We've been created to praise God, to hallow his name. This is the greatest source of joy that we could possibly imagine, to dwell in a God that is hallowed, that loves us regardless, that watches over us, and that abides in us. It is our call, or call's the wrong word. It is what it is that I am compelled to do. And that is to take time and to bow in humility and proclaim, my God, how great thou art. I was on a retreat in Suwannee, and I was a little overwhelmed with seminary and people and all that stuff. And the place where he had the retreat was a order of nuns. It sat up on top of the plateau, and the retreat leader just didn't cut it for me. I was like, no. So I went for a walk and ended up in the chapel of the retreat center. And the altar, behind the altar is this huge floor-to-ceiling window. I mean, huge, that looked out over the mountain and the trees and the sky. That was their stained glass, much like we've done here in a different way. And the only thing I could do, and I hesitate to tell you this story because it makes it a little bit about me, but I think that all of you might be able to relate to it, so I'm going to say it. And that is, the only thing I could do was to bow down in humility before God and prostrate myself at the foot of the altar and weep. Today, let's pray for an increasing reverence for God's name, for a recognition that God is at the heart of everything that is good in this life. Especially let's pray these things for our five people. Hallowed be thy name. Amen.